Finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft close doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. It's so bright where you are.
Hmm?
Look at the light coming in through your window.
It's so bright. I know. It's still daytime here. I'm on the other side of the earth, dipshit.
Oh. So dark here. So bright there. What is that? That's a full glass of something.
It's a Diet Dr. Pepper with Tito's.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, we're scraping the bottom of the barrels down here.
Jesus Christ.
As the Tito's from our Christmas Day Bloody Marys mixed in with some Dr. Pepper.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's we haven't been to the beer store in a little while. So.
Yeah, that seems right. All right.
All kinds of fun in the Discord today. I was excited. I was getting called out in the Discord.
I'm glad you checked in.
I had to go find my Discord password again so I could defend myself.
So you can tell everyone, no idea what anyone's talking about. Yeah. Good day, everybody. I'll tell you what. As soon as I hit end recording, this everything we do here is memory hold for about a week, and then Jeremy sends me the edited version. I listen to it once. I take notes so I can make a little description. And then once again, memory hold forever. It's amazing.
I listened to the episode one time on a walk during, several lunches, I guess, because this definitely is more than a one lunch show, but I listened to the show exactly one time, just so I understand the jokes being made in the Discord for the next week, and that's it. Literally.
Yeah. Jeremy and Jen, both spent quite a lot of time trying to remind me what we talked about. One week ago, which should not be that hard because I did so much research for it. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no clue. But maybe tonight will be different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all your plumbing is going at once, so that's a sound that means that it's time for us to go. It's time for us to start.
I think someone's getting a bath, like a really aggressive bath upstairs.
Just like waterfalls of water on the head.
Like throwing a weed whacker into the bathtub with them for some reason.
Yeah. Now it is electric and it's plugged in. They're going for a ride. Everybody, welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously. Pat, we got a lot of ground to cover today before we get to the story. I'm going to stretch a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, listen, ground folks, if you're listening, so much ground to cover. We got a lot of catching up to do. It's been quite a week. So if you are here just for the ghost story, as you probably know, like you just listen for Patrick saying whap, whap, whap or something. I would say skip to minute 30 because we got a lot of ground to go.
Okay. That's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. First, dare I say, first topic,
them birds,
the Pope.
Oh, the Pope. Oh, okay.
The Pope.
Okay.
Now, by the time this comes out, this is going to be very well-worn territory, like overrun territory.
We may even have a new pope by then. I don't know. It's he's a Southsider, so he's probably not in the best of shape. He's probably been eating, some pork chops.
He's got those pork chops lodged right there in the gullet, you know. Boy, we got a new pope, and he is a Chicagoan.
Oh, man.
It is. It's so fun. It's almost enough to bring me back. Almost enough to bring me back to the Catholic Church. I'm thinking about it, and I'm very excited. Okay, so I want to hear your first takes on Pope Portillo the First.
Yeah.
And how he's going
to
do.
I was at least excited when they talked to him. He said that he also hated Berwyn. And I was like, well, that's an interesting way to think of it.
Yeah. We all do.
Yeah. There's a lot of places in this world to hate.
Yeah.
Berwyn.
And Berwyn's an interesting choice.
First, I get it.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know you get it.
Boy, you know I get it. Everyone gets it except Sven Gulli.
Right.
That guy, he's a lifer. Mm-hmm. He's a lifer.
Yeah, I guess I was excited. It was probably the most hype day on Blue Sky I've seen in quite a long time.
And that is saying something, because they get pretty excited about some weird stuff over there.
This was like verging on like Twitter the day whenever Trump got COVID. Or
what a fun day that was.
Man, what a fucking day that was. That was such a day. But it was on that spectrum somewhere. It was towards the end of that spectrum. Good stuff. Lots of good Da Pop jokes. It was funny, like just thinking that, you know, Da Pop was, well, he wasn't there when I was in Chicago, when either of us were in Chicago.
I think he was like the first, he was there until like 2007, 2008.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. Maybe
I think he was there like right when we were first there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think when we first moved up there, I think Ben came up and we went and saw a White Sox game in like the middle of April. It was the most miserable baseball experience of my entire life. And maybe the Pope was there.
Honestly, like the crazy thing about all this is there is a greater than 0% chance that you and I have been drunk on the red line on the same train as the Pope. And that is crazy.
You know what? There was that one time whenever like the doors were closing at, what was it? At Chinatown. Uh-huh. And we like just like snapped awake. And just like someone just tapped us on the shoulder like, hey, do you guys need to get off? Oh, fuck. And we jumped off. Maybe that was him.
Could have been him.
It could have very easily been
by an angel. Mm-hmm. Could have been.
I'm going to say it's him.
You know what? Let's tell everyone.
Yeah.
And that's when we met the Pope. It was great. Mm-hmm. What an angel.
Yeah.
Got us home on time. Safe and sound. This is great. I think Rome is finally going to know what Italian beef is like. Bring some real Italian beef to Italy.
You grilling some chaps there in the Vatican parking lot?
Oh, I cannot wait.
Some chaps.
Cannot wait. The White Sox finally have a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
They were talking to AJ Pierzynski on MLB Network when they were showing the video of the Pope in the stands. And AJ Pierzynski goes, I was catching in that game. The Pope knows who I am. Like, it finally snapped into focus for him. Like, hang on. The Pope literally, like, cheered for me.
He clapped his hands together when I did a thing. The Pope used his own curse words when I dropped that fly. Wow. Oh man. So that's one. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
As you know, pair of former Chicagoans. Gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, what a week. And so he's, you know, he's being billed as the woke Pope, although you know, I think it's it's hard to see like any actual Catholic going pretty far.
We're grading on a curve there, I think.
It's
a pretty heavy curve.
But even my mom is like, can you believe it? How exciting. There's a Chicago Pope. And I was like, oh mom, you haven't read a thing about this whole deal, have you? But right now we're in this kind of like Schrodinger's box of Pope,
right?
Where it's if you don't he's both woke and not woke,
right? I was kind of afraid your mom was gonna say, oh, a Chicago Pope, I wonder if he'll mug me. That's what I was wondering.
Well, you know, she's from Chicago originally.
Oh really?
So it's a little hard for her to go all on board with that. Now she did, of course, the summer I moved up to Chicago. Right. The front page of the Chicago Tribune was that I said like summer, bloody summer. She was like, are you sure you want to move? I was like, yeah, I guess. Yeah,
look how cool it is.
It's so boring here in Villa Ridge, Missouri. Pretty exciting in Chicago. And so you never really know what you're gonna get from her. Mm-hmm. But so far she's pretty excited.
All right.
At, Chicago. Well, good for her. So yeah. So that's one story. That's pretty big. I went to Richmond this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And I saw the Avett Brothers concert, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. No notes. But the more important thing, as you know, apparently at least one member of the band Gwar is from Richmond.
Oh, okay. Well, Richmond, it's a very artsy-fartsy town, right?
It is. Let me tell you. Yeah. So I'll explain Richmond very succinctly here. It's very much a block by block town. Mm-hmm. And as we were walking across, we went to one really nice hotel not our hotel because we didn't have enough money, but we went to a very nice hotel. That was, I mean, really impressive and huge, and $700 a night. And then we went about four blocks away and we got some coffee from a kind of like hipster coffee roaster. Mm-hmm. And then two blocks in the other direction, we walked past a CVS where a man was screaming at another man. And one of the men was holding a brick with new blood on it. And there was blood spattered on the sidewalk. And then the other man was limping away with blood coming down his body from his head.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next block after was the Gwar Bar.
Oh, okay. So
this is all very close together.
I mean, it's really not saying a whole lot about the Guar bar if it was this wasn't like a linear trend you're describing here, right? Because no, like,
this was kind of a yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
No, the Guar bar was great.
Okay.
It was like the Muppet version of what we witnessed outside of CBS. Okay.
Yeah. Now I will note that all four of those experiences does get progressively bloodier as you go along.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. But only one of them has real blood. And that was the upsetting one. But we went to Guar bar. There's a, yeah, one of the guys from Guar owns a bar, at least one of them, maybe more, but it is boy, it's what you want out of a Guar bar. It's just like entrails hanging from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And it's rubber masks up on the wall, and it's everything.
Interesting. How are the wings?
Didn't eat any food. Did not eat food. We walked in, and it's so weird because, like, this to me, it's like, oh, we gotta go to Guar bar.
Yeah.
But then we walk in, and it's all these locals with, like, you know, these kind of like 60-year-old guys with like sleeveless shirts and jorts. You know.
Wait, the Guar bar is a townie bar?
It's a townie bar, so oh. It's which is so weird. But it make you know, I mean, you know, Guar's pretty old.
Yeah,
those guys could have been in Guar, for all I know. But it's a townie. It's weird. So it's a townie bar. So we walk in, and we're going to a cool concert later.
Sure, yeah,
not like a Guar concert, like a cool concert. So we're wearing like not nice clothes, but like nicer clothes. Than,
right. Yeah, than you're not wearing ponchos, so you're not going to a Guar concert. No, a single
oil stain. Yeah, exactly. And so we walk in, and so we're obviously out of place here. And the bartender was kind of, he's like, what do you guys want? Mm-hmm. But he didn't say it in a nice way.
Right. Yeah.
It's like,
that's the shtick.
Which is what you want from a Guar bar. Exactly. Sure. Yeah. Again, it's everything you want.
Yeah.
But we decided not to order food and just got some quick bad drinks. And then just long enough to get several pictures to send to you, which is the important part of going to the Guar bar. And then we left.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Kara, my friend Kara was there, you know, Kara, and she made the bad decision to go to the restroom while we were there. And she said, it does smell like the elevator of the Blue Line.
Hmm. Okay.
Which again, it's what you want from a Guar bar.
I don't know.
So there's that. What'd you do this weekend?
Oh, I just celebrated the St. Louis Cardinals 8 consecutive wins.
They're finally on a tear.
Notice
the hat. I bet. Mm-hmm. I guess for our YouTube listener, we should say with this show is not affiliated with the Cardinals in any way. They're not. They will have nothing to do with us, despite our best efforts. But yeah, they're suddenly okay. Okay, there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You don't even.
That's literally it. Yeah, that was the only things of interest. I'll say.
Yeah. I went to New York also last week. Oh, saw Glengarry Glen Ross.
Wonderful. Just great. Just awesome.
You want to hear the story? Okay.
Yeah.
The story?
Oh, yeah. Right. Sure.
You got a place to be? Sorry. I was going to tell everyone my review on Glengarry Glen Ross. Guess you got to just, you don't get it. All right. Patrick's got a place to be. So here we go. In June of 1947, a U.S. Yeah. I said it like that. A U.S. ship. Called the Silver Star, was out bopping around in the Straits of Malacca, which, as you know, is in the country of?
Morocco?
Indonesia.
Ah, yes, of course.
Very far away. It was one of several ships in that area, and one morning, the Silver Star receives a pretty strange message in Morse code.
Mm, okay.
Message was, dot, dot. Dash dot dash, dash dot, dot 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 dash, dash dot.
Do you mean to tell you what that is?
Yeah.
Does it say? Is it alive?
What?
I'm guessing in five letter words.
No, so that was not what the message actually reads. Once it's transcribed from dots and dashes, this is the message. SOS from Aurang Medan. We float.
Oh.
All officers, including the captain, dead in chart room and on the bridge. Probably whole of crew dead. Then the message dissolves into just random dots and dashes that are absolute nonsense.
Okay. It's not like maybe translate into a different language?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah.
And here it is in Czech. And here it is in Esperanto.
I'm dying pretty badly, but it is important. I know this is an international community. I want to make sure we hit everybody.
Trying to figure out how to do sign language on the Morse code. Harder than you think.
So then it just dissolves into nonsense. Mm-hmm. And the radio operator on the Silver Star, he's looking at the tape that, you know, it prints out on.
Right, yeah.
He's like, what the fuck? Like, he's reading, he's double-checking, like, and this is what it says. Now he's about to tear off the tape and bring the whole message to the captain when suddenly there's another very short burst of SOS transmission comes through. This one reads simply, I die.
Mm.
So the radio operator brings this all to the bridge.
Oh, and I mean, I guess he can. I mean, at that point, he may be like, yeah,
what okay. would you do?
I mean, it's that I die and crumble it so up.
Like, yeah. Too late for that guy.
Just sucks to be you. I wish you hadn't spent all your time talking about like where everybody else was dead.
Could have saved us all a lot of time, but if you just lived with that last bit. So he brings it to the bridge, gives it to the captain. The captain reads it and he's like, oh, wow, that is spooky. Hmm. And so the captain then gets on the radio and he connects with the other captains, the other ships right in the area there. Every single one of those captains is like, yeah, we got the same message.
Ooh. That's kind of how
now,
it works.
This is the same.
Yeah.
This is a question that I have for you because you know about,
right.
About
technology of the 1940s. Yeah.
Of the nautical type. Mm-hmm. So the same message simultaneously sent to more than half a dozen ships. Mm-hmm. Is that how that works? Because I don't think so. Is it?
I mean,
how does it work?
They're connected by wires, right? Are they?
But are they cannot possibly be.
Right. Because they're boats. Right? And they're like tooting boats. Along. Right?
Like their whole deal is no wires. Yeah.
They pretty much got invented to get away from wires. So they
I don't know how it works, actually.
They'd be getting some sort of over-the-air like radio transmission, right?
So if they're just like going... Like,
yeah, exactly. Out. Yes. Yeah, like Lost.
Okay, so that makes sense.
It's like Lost, yes.
Yeah, just like Lost. And then a polar bear attacked the ship. And we'll never learn why. So all these other captains are like, yeah, we all got it. So now everyone has lots of questions, obviously. But this is first and foremost an SOS call. Mm-hmm. And so it's the law of the sea. You got to go. You got to go. You got to answer the call to rescue the ship.
Right. But where are they going to? Were the coordinates? Well,
this is
there?
Where I want to bring you in. No, there were not. So this is where I want to bring you back in. As somebody who knows stuff. They triangulate the location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Based on
how does that work?
So if you know how far you are from a point and how far somebody else is from a point and how far a third person is from a point. And you know where all those three people are located, then you know where the fourth item is located.
But what if you don't know how far from that point they are?
You figure out based on time, usually. Like how long it took to get the message.
So is this like when my math teacher was like, you're going to want to learn math because you'll need it. Yeah. Was she talking about
She was talking about this. Yeah. When you're in your 40s and you're in your basement talking to your one friend. To a bunch of dorks, you're gonna want to understand triangulation.
Okay, well, she didn't account for the fact that my one friend would be an engineer already understood it, so I didn't need that. Joke's on you, Miss Sadler.
It's how your cell phone can tell where you are. Your cell phone doesn't usually use your actual GPS chip inside of it. It's just not terribly accurate, but it'll triangulate off.
It uses one inside of your blood that the COVID vaccine put inside of you.
Yeah, that's the one. When you woke up and Bill Gates staring into your eyes, that was the night that he put it inside of you. The chip.
And but no COVID.
No, sir. Not anymore. but you figure out how far away you are from three known cell towers. Mm-hmm. And by knowing how far away you are from the tower or from all three of the towers, you can locate exactly where you are in space.
Has math always been used to creep on people?
As long as I've been doing it. Yeah.
Why do you think I learned it?
What angle do I have to be at to look into this girl's bedroom?
All right, so they triangulate the location. I have here using boat magic, but you've kind of dispelled that. It's actual science. It's
yes.
Math.
Correct, okay. Yeah. I mean, it was boat magic until they figured out what was actually going on, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. It turns out that the Silver Star is the closest ship to this Orang Medan ship. Mm-hmm. So it's like everyone, all the other captains are like, yeah, oh, short, sorry. Oh,
sucks to be you.
Short straw. You got to go. This boat full of dead idiots. So the Silver Star, they set out to find the ship. Mm-hmm. And they do.
Oh.
They find it floating very quietly
okay.
in the ocean. The SS Orang Medan is very silent as they pull up. There's no movement. It is just floating there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not terribly typical for a ship.
Right. Positive note. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Free boat. Sounds like a pretty expensive boat.
Yeah, it's probably a pretty good boat.
Yeah. No one's okay. claiming it. Everybody on there. I mean,
that's true.
Finders keepers.
Squatters rights, mm-hmm. et cetera. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Squatters rights, nautically speaking, are those go into effect after, I think, 30 seconds.
Boy, am I glad we kept the tape now. I'm glad we didn't just throw the tape away because I needed this.
So this is floating there. So the captain of the Silver Star is like, all right, well, go up. Go on, young friends.
Yeah.
Get I got to ban this ship. You go over to that ship.
Go collect all the booty. Get the booty. Bring the booty back over here.
Bring all the booties.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so they lower a lifeboat into the water and a handful of the Silver Star crew, who I assume also drew really short straws. They row out to this silent floating ship.
Mm-hmm.
They pull up to the side. They climb up and they are spooked out of their minds.
I believe it.
Because of all the reasons. They get on board. The first thing they notice is that the ship itself looks to be completely undamaged.
Hmm. Okay.
No issues.
Right.
Okay.
They weren't attacked. They weren't shelled. No fire.
As far as we can tell, nothing.
Right.
And like if you get a SOS, it's like we're all dead and right. I die.
Yeah.
You're thinking, well, you've come under some sort of unfortunate attack.
Yes. Yes.
But the ship is in great shape.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's pretty strange. There's also no sign that any of the cargo has been disturbed.
Okay. All right. So now we're getting somewhere. It's booty time.
So more booty for them. Yeah. Their first thought, though, is not about get that booty, mm-hmm. As it is, I know, for you often. The first thought is, well, they haven't been robbed.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been attacked. They haven't been robbed. They haven't been pillaged.
Mm-hmm.
This is weird.
Where are
they? It's not pirates.
Right. Where is everybody?
And where is everybody?
Mm-hmm.
That's an important question. The deck is empty. Ship is totally silent.
You think there'd be some sunbathers or something out there, right?
That's what I would do. Man, if I, mm-hmm. listen, 1947, yeah. War is over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a ship.
I would be going down the water slide back to back to back. I'll tell you that.
I am in the buff, crossing my ankles and heading down that slide. Sun all my parts.
I'm just going to live at the buffet. I'm just going to live at the buffet.
So the crew is more freaked out now than they were before because
mm-hmm.
there's no sign of any sort of disturbance. So they head up, they start to explore. They go up to the bridge first.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the captain usually hangs out.
Mm-hmm.
And they peer inside the bridge and everyone inside is in fact very dead.
Oh, so
so there are bodies.
Good.
Yeah. Whew. There are people. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank God everyone's dead. Woo. And down below deck, they go down to the cabins where all the crew members live and sleep and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the crew members, they're all in their cabins.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person on that ship is dead.
Hmm.
They're on their beds.
Mm-hmm.
They are dead. Every person.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ship's dog is dead.
Gas leak? I'm thinking gas leak, right?
All right. Well, let's find out.
Yeah.
Now, all the bodies are completely unharmed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gas leak sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
There are no cuts, no bruises, no marks, nothing broken. Mm-hmm. Everyone appears to be in like totally good health. But there is one kind of strange thing about every single body.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the fact they're dead.
Right.
The strange thing about them was the look of absolute terror that was frozen onto each and every dead man's face.
Mm.
Their eyes are bulging wide open. Their mouths are open and twisted as if they were screaming. One of the witnesses from the Silver Star later said they were found, quote, with teeth bared, faces turned upwards toward the sun staring. Someone else reported
Many of the bodies had their hands still outstretched as if warding something off.
Oof.
Even the dog had died in mid-snarl. So I'm not sure it's gas.
Mm. I'm thinking, if I was being suffocated,
mm-hmm.
what kind of face would I make? It would be an unkind face. I would have poor body language if I was being suffocated.
You would have less control over your own body and how it reacted than you would expect.
I could see eye bulging.
Yeah, and go like this, like a fucking like Bela Lugosi.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's how I would suffocate. How would you suffocate? Oh, carbon monoxide.
Peaceful carbon monoxide. Silent killer. Yeah. If you got to go, that's, I think, top number one, I think. Not that I think it would be cool to be killed by carbon monoxide poison.
No, of course not.
But if you're going to get a choice. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
It does sound pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Restful. Yeah. I wonder the second best way to die would be. Carbon monoxide, obviously. Clear number one.
Yeah. Ejaculating your body apart. I don't know.
Ejaculating your body inside out. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's number one.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's like prime. That's death zero. All right. Anyway, so where are we here? So the dog dies mid-star. So the crew of the Silver Star. They are ba-da-ba-ba-ba, not loving this. So they don't touch anything.
Mm-hmm.
They get the fuck off their ship. They're like, we don't know what's going on. This is really creepy. We're out. They row back to their ship. They tell their captain on the Silver Star what they had seen. And the captain is like, I'm not going to leave them out here.
Right.
So the captain makes a decision. What would you do? Let me ask you this. What would you do?
I need some more details first, but if I am within 1,000 miles of a port, I think I try and tow it back. I hook up the tow cables, and I just bring it on back into port, some port.
I'll show you where they are. I don't know which part of this area they are in, but you'll get the kind of gist of it. Do 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 do. So they are, I think, in here.
Oh, yeah. You're like right next to Kuala Lumpur. You're just down the street from Singapore.
I think you're in
dragging distance. You drag it somewhere in there. Yeah.
So you're gonna tow it back to port.
I think I'm gonna tow it back to port. Now you put me 1,000+ miles offshore. I scuttle it right there.
With what though?
I don't. You're a warship. You got scuttling stuff.
I don't think you are. I think this is a cargo ship.
Wait, which one's a cargo ship?
Both. I think both.
Oh, these are. Oh, I thought
these were post war.
Ah, no, okay. Post-war. Okay. I thought this was a 1947 victory lap around the Pacific. That's what kind of.
I mean, it could be. I didn't see that it wasn't that.
Okay,
so that's true. So that one, yeah. Okay.
Even then, I'm thinking I figured a way to scuttle the ship. I think I. Yeah.
Like, all right. Go check the stores that we have. Check the cargo. Mm-hmm. Anything that's flammable.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on that boat.
Exactly.
And get the hot dogs, because we're going to have some fun. Well, you would be a great ship captain, because captain says, we'll tow him into port.
I love it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Mm-hmm. You're loving it. That's called a callback, because I did it earlier.
Yeah, 5 seconds ago. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not much earlier. Yeah. So they break out the chains. They hook up the boat.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they start dragging the SS Orang Medan back to Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say, too, this is a Dutch boat.
Okay.
But based in Indonesia.
Right. Yes.
Best I can tell, there was some sort of like special relationship between the Dutch and the Indonesians at this point.
Uh-huh.
I guess.
Who cares?
And I was trying to think, like, which country does Dutch?
Mm-hmm.
That's...
It's the Netherlands.
It's Dutchland.
Right, yes.
Yeah, which is Germany. yeah, all the Netherlands? Yeah, all of them.
Yes, all of them. Yeah. Yeah. The whole lot.
Well, it's weird that one country is called the Netherlands. That makes no sense. That's a plural.
True. Yeah.
And the country is a singular.
It's also kind of weird that another country is called Dutchland and it's not the Netherlands.
Gosh, they have a lot to work out over there, huh? Hope they settle that someday.
They tried two times. It didn't really work out either time. So.
So they're, you know, they're dragging the orangutan to Indonesia. And on the way, the orangutan bursts into flames.
Ah, plan B.
And it doesn't just burst into flames. There's an explosion, and it is an explosion so intense that the entire ship is lifted out of the ocean.
Mm.
Now, you're an engineer. Mm-hmm. I am guessing a 1947 cargo ship and or war tanker or whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. That's a heavy lift.
I'm thinking that's a pretty heavy boat. I'm thinking probably I'm gonna go with fuel spill or something like that down in the bowels of the ship that ignites. That's my guess.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay. All right.
And then since you're below water, water is not compressible, so any explosion is gonna lift straight up. It can't go out.
True?
That's correct.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. That's actually why like the when they go to sabotage like warships and stuff in ports. They always place mines and bombs below the water level because when they blow up, the water can't compress. And so all the explosive force goes into the ship.
Oh, yeah, because water just moves around. Mm. That's called displacement.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But if you're down under the water level, there's nowhere for it to go. So that's my guess. Fuel explosion below the water line. Poof.
Fucking nerd. My guess is ghost. Let's find out who's right. So the ship jumps out of the ocean. Now, it's a huge explosion. It also blows apart the chains, the towing chains.
Oh, no, the good chains.
The good chains. Not our good chains. which actually ends up being very lucky because
the boat fucking sinks, right?
Fucking sinks immediately. And even without being literally tethered to it, the Silver Star is almost pulled down. Mm-hmm. So that's a whoo. So the Silver Star gets back to port
with a crazy story.
They're like, you're not going to believe this.
And they're like, oh, does it explain why the chains are missing? Yes, it does, actually.
It does. Yes. As a matter of fact, I can make this work. Yes, it does. No, but the other ships are, but like, so people on back on land are like, be serious. Mm-hmm. But the other ship captains who've also come in because of this whole ordeal, they're like, listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were on the call. Mm-hmm. We all got it. And a few of the ships were also close enough by the time that the ship blew up, they saw it explode. Like several captains are like, we saw it. It's true. And we all think ghosts. So a few days later, there is a story about this published in a Dutch Indonesian newspaper.
Right. Yeah. I mean, one of the dozens of Dutch Indonesian newspapers.
That's the part of the research that makes me think there's probably some special relationship between the Dutch and Indonesia. Now, I can't read, I guess, Dutch. I'm going to guess Dutch. Based on some of these, I'm going to guess Dutch.
I believe so. I'm going to pause you right there. I'm going to find for you Dutch to English translation.
Yeah, you type all this in. See how it goes.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Let's see. Nope, that's good. English to Dutch. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me zoom in more so you can get all the fine print.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Oh, never mind. I can't find it anymore. There was an English to Dutch translation site up, and I'm assuming now it was photoshopped, but it was translating the English phrase "I slam my penis in the car door" to Dutch, and it was just "I slamming my penis in der kerder." I thought, well, that's
the Swedish Chef version.
Yeah, I already know Dutch. I don't know, but now I'm realizing it's probably a Photoshop because that's not how you say "I slam my penis in the car door."
I wouldn't Dutch. Think it would be. Yeah, no. I don't think so. Anyway, that's a good way to spend our listeners' time on a podcast.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, look it up for yourself.
So, anyway, as you can see here, and as our YouTube listeners can see. Mm-hmm. Here's a newspaper, and here's a photo of one of the dead bodies.
Mm. I mean, that could be any sailor in the morning, quite frankly.
He's going to be fine. Give him 3 hours and like some egg yolks. He's
There's
gonna
a be song great. About this guy. I think he's going to be fine.
Anyway, so it's in the newspaper. Now, the newspaper includes a photo, which you saw. Mm-hmm. And they also note, of course, that no one can explain why the sailors are all dead. There are some theories. One of them is gas leak.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of them is fuel issue. That's yours.
Yeah.
Didn't see that one. One is that perhaps these were kind of like post-war. The Orang Medan was a post-war ship that was carrying around some sort of like special nerve gas or like chemical weapon. They were trying to like keep it closed, and that leaks, and they all die, and they're like, "Oh no!" Ah! Yeah. And then it explodes. Of course,
That. I like that theory. Actually, that's actually
it's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah, doesn't explain why they have that many people on the ship with the nerve gas. That seems like an oversight.
But, it seems like there's a government who's like, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. I have a lot of people. I just wish would just go away.
I got a lot of loose lips and a lot of dangerous ships. What can I? Oh, I think I know exactly what I can do.
So there's some theories going on. What's all happening? A newspaper calls them all out, but there is one explanation that really kind of all ties it all together.
Mm-hmm, right.
I think, which is evil spirit.
True. Yes. That does dot all the I's and cross all the T's.
Yeah. Now, you seem a little dubious of that, but I will. I'm going to throw in one more interesting fact that the newspaper turned up that may convince you. I don't know, a little bit, that it might be a ghost. Mm-hmm. There is no evidence of a ship called the SS Orang Medan ever existing. There's no record of the ship named the Orang Medan in the shipping registries. Mm-hmm. They contacted both the Dutch and the Indonesian shipping companies. Mm-hmm. Neither of them had ever heard of the Orang Medan. Mm-hmm. But all these ships have an SOS call from the Orang Medan, and multiple ships, including the Silver Star, have photographs of the ship. They snap before it explodes, and they all say SS Orang Medan on the side. A rescue mission was sent down to try to salvage what's left of the ship, but no one has ever been able to find any trace of this ghost ship, the SS Orang Medan. Neither can they find the crew, who died from, as best as we can tell, being scared to death. It's pretty spooky, right?
A little spooky. I kind of want to do one of those like Reddit deep dives on what the Morse code gibberish is. See if they can figure it out.
That would be fun. You should do that.
I should do that.
Don't read the Reddit threads where they say like this is all a hoax.
Right.
Those are not fruitful.
Those are dead ends. They're dead ends. You don't want to.
Those are quitters who said, I can't figure it out, so it must not be true. But there are the photos. Photos exist. Everything exists. But there's no ship called that. So I personally, you want to hear what I really think?
Absolutely. Yes.
This is one of the few times in Is This a Ghost? I'll say, I don't think it's a ghost.
Okay.
I will say this is an Event Horizon.
Oh, okay. They're from a different timeline.
I think this is an Event Horizon.
Right.
They're from a different timeline, different dimension. Mm-hmm. And they probably like died on their way through. Like whatever they were escaping from got them right before they got through.
Okay.
Except for the goddamn telegraph operator. Or I guess it's radio. It's probably not telegraph because, again, wires don't. That's not, those boats aren't tethered. he made it just long enough to send it out. That's my best guess because I have no idea how else this whole story could be true.
I'm thinking secret nerve gas ship. I like the nerve gas. I like that.
Yeah, the nerve gas is a good theory.
I'm thinking secret nerve gas ship because you have like hundreds of tanks of nerve gas. One of them ruptures. Uh-huh. It fills the ship. Everyone dies horrifically. The nerve gas dissipates. Right, like it's like the tank is done, right? Okay, but there's some, in the bottom of the ship. This is a very, very secure ship, right? Uh-huh. In the hold,
I mean, obviously,
it's full of like hundreds and hundreds of canisters of nerve gas. Somewhere in the hold, there's like a time bomb that you have to go down and like reset, like with a little like Christmas light timer every day.
Now that feels insane. Up.
But
so you just like park your ship and then be like do 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 and walk away and
or in case like the ship is overrun by somebody and they don't know where the little bomb is, like, oh hey, free nerve gas, and then 24 hours go by and then
all right.
This is my thought. If I was gonna design a cargo ship full of nerve gas.
And I'm not. I know the NSA is listening.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not interested.
But if anybody was gonna design a cargo ship.
Yeah, go ahead, OJ. Tell us how you would do it. Yeah. If you did it, how would you do it?
That's what I would do.
It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Now, my question on that is, why was there no one on deck? Like, why is like everyone in their cabin? Someone must be on the fucking deck of this ship. Someone's mm-hmm. gotta be. I think that's like standard protocol. It's weird. Event Horizon doesn't explain that either.
Right.
But it's weird that everyone's in their cabin or on the bridge.
Yeah. I'm also not sure about the person who sends the SOS message.
That's Sam Neill, actually.
Right.
Where he's going, yep. He doesn't need eyes to type. So.
Because yeah. Like that guy would have had to have not suffered instantaneous death that everybody else in the ship seems to have.
Yeah.
But also died before before the rescue ship got there. That, or maybe he's hiding somewhere in the ship from something. That part doesn't add up. So,
surprise!
Yeah.
I don't know. And the fact the ship never apparently existed. It's on no records anywhere.
That, I mean, if I were to make a cargo ship full of nerve gas,
you're going to paint over the name.
I'm going to give it a new name, okay?
I just want to be super clear here. I'm not doing this.
I'm not even condoning it, really. But you definitely don't want to use your own fucking license plates on the car full of nerve gas, okay?
Yeah, how many extra plates do you have in your trunk?
Yeah, enough.
All right, got it on tape. Good. This entire podcast has been a sting operation. I've been playing with the FBI. It took us 155 episodes, but hey, we got it, folks. Yeah. Come on in.
I'll just pledge fealty to Musk and they'll let me out. It'll be fine. Oh, and then I'll be at it again.
That's gross. That's true. Now government funded. So anyway, that is the mysterious story of the potential Event Horizon / ghost / evil demon / gas leak mystery of the ghost ship, the SS Orang Medan. Any questions, concerns? It's not a traditional ghost story.
No.
Sometimes people get mad that we don't do like real ghost stories. So... I don't know, but Aaron asked for a, she's like, it's time for a nautical ghost. And I agree. I love a nautical ghost. The trouble is when you try to search for nautical ghosts, you put like ghost ship.
Right.
It's all like, here are these empty ships. I'm like, nah, I don't want that. I want a ship that's a ghost. this is when it keeps coming up. So I thought maybe if we did an episode on it, it'll just like stop coming up when I search it. That's how you know, that works, I think. questions, concerns, thoughts, final notes.
I love ghost vehicles. I love it. I love the James Dean car. I love ghost ship.
Yeah.
I like ghost trains. Have we done a ghost train? We have done a ghost train.
Have you done ghost train? Well, all right, I'll look for a ghost train.
Yeah,
right.
get on it. what are the big vehicles that can be ghastly?
Roller coaster?
Have we done
a ghost roller coaster would be terrifying.
Yeah.
I can't imagine we've done that.
Yeah, so just Google roller coaster and we'll find something. It'll be fine.
It's too good not to exist.
Anytime a new social media network starts up, the first fucking name that gets chosen is roller coaster.
Roller coaster. God damn it. We've been trying for years. Well, this has been another great episode of Is This a Ghost? And this is a production of Smith Show Media. Notes this week are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Jennifer Jones, and Sam Murdoch. Fox and Quill Studios handles all of our merch. Go check it out. It is isthisaghost.com/store. Listen, if you like what you hear, you can go and join our Ghost Plus. We've got actually quite a few folks who have stopped doing that recently, because their financial situations have changed, which I assume has something to do with, the cool times we're living in. I will say to you all, that's fine. No hard feelings. Take care of yourself. For those of you who have found yourself in a glut of cash, I'm looking at you, Elon. I know you listen. Yeah, it's a good way to show that you support the show and you support the people who work on the show. So if you're able to, we would love it if you did. If you can't, then we totally get it. And boy, what a time to be alive. Gosh, Pat, any final thoughts for real before we stop?
No, I'm just looking forward to the ghost train next week. That's all I'm looking forward to.
Fuck me, we gotta stop this. I gotta go Google ghost train, and we'll see you next week. In the meantime, don't get on a boat
ever.
Just ever. No boat. Stay on land. You have legs; those are for land. Stay on land. Or else we might be talking about you next week on Is This a Ghost?